This is URN The Pulse.
Hello and welcome to The Pulse. I'm Gabby and today I'm joined by Nick, Dawson and Harry. And we will be discussing an open letter written by the SU candidates. We'll also be discussing whether the media intrude too much into the lives of the royal family and also a simulated suicide bomb in the Manchester Trafford Centre. If you want to get involved, you can tweet us at URN1350, send us a free web text at urn1350.net or send us a text on 07903 545 252. At first, we're going straight to Harry, who's going to be telling us about an open letter from the SU candidates against the actions of the Union Council.
That's right. So an open letter was revealed today basically saying that former SU candidates have written against the actions of the Union Council. They object to the decision of the facilitator of the Union Council to block a motion that sought to address several significant issues encountered within the officer election period. The Union Council decided that the case is not appropriate for the Union Council, but the SU candidates argued that as the ultimate decision-making body within the students' union, the only way to ensure widespread reform of the election process is for the Union Council to hear the case. They also maintained that the Democratic Procedures Committee does not meet regularly enough to deal with the motion in the current academic year. There were several names attached to this letter, including Scott Jennings, Dean Alcordy, Ian O'Para, and Emily Mills, and more. So we also have Nick Clay, who's going to read a comment from Ian O'Para, who ran for Communities Officer this year.
So Ian sent us a message. We got in touch with him to ask him about his main concerns about the open letter and kind of what sparked it. So Ian said that the main concern that he had was people going up to students at lunch or just around Portland and forcing them to vote with iPads and tablets, which you're not allowed to do under the rules of the elections. People who were victim to this didn't understand that that was a rule. Only the candidates knew of this rule, and people who were victim also didn't know how to complain about it. Apart from that, Ian also mentions that the election reforms make a lot of good points generally. Not that he agrees with all of them himself, but he says there should be a discussion to make proper amendments to the proposed reforms. We also spoke to Jess Salisbury. I got in touch with her and asked her opinions on the matter. And she says the letter's in response to the motion being rejected, which means the election reform won't even be discussed. So that's the main issue she has with it, that there won't even be a discussion about this. Not necessarily that they're going to block some of the reforms. She said that having gone through the election process herself, she's seen that there are various holes in the system that need to be fixed, and there were so many grievance forms and complaints submitted this year that she believes something needs to be done before it gets out of hand. She's disappointed that the motion isn't even being considered, as the discussion of these issues is so important.
So from their responses, we kind of immediately identified several issues. First, Ian talked about the kind of the iPad tactic of forcing people, you know, at lunch or whatever, just to choose for a candidate they haven't read anything about, don't know anything about, maybe not even aware of what the election is for. And so in terms of who the blame is on there, is that about maybe making sure that SU elections are more people are more in touch with what is actually going on, especially first years who are coming into this kind of new world basically, and maybe don't understand how important the SU can be? Or is it on the candidates to self-regulate, to actually think, no, we're going to win this election the right way and not just by forcing people to vote?
I think it's a bit of both. I can certainly relate to the point you made about first years. Being one myself, the whole kind of election process and the campaigning was a bit of a blur. I didn't really kind of understand it. I wasn't sure. I certainly wasn't aware of any rules or any regulations that any candidates were supposed to comply to. And I remember there were people outside my flat with iPads, and I was actually out at the time. But all my flatmates they didn't know anything. They couldn't even name any candidates. Had no idea who was running, how many people were running, but just voted there and then because there was an iPad thrust in their face. And they were told to vote, so they did.
And the same thing happened to me last year, but with phones. So they'll just ask you to log on to your account, and then they'll vote for you, basically, without you even knowing who they represent or whatever. So it's a real kind of issue in the democratic process, but also in terms of how would you even go about regulating that? That's the thing, because we have this supposed kind of elections committee that is meant to come into action if they feel that there is too much of a foul play or, you know, overspending or whatever. But, you know, we don't know who is on this committee. We don't know how, if they meet or if they only come into play when they feel that there's an issue there.
Well, you'd have to have like a rep going around with each campaign team is the only way to really regulate it. Because if you have four candidates saying, yes, we're going to be completely legitimate, we're just going to campaign properly, we're going to get people to vote on our merit rather than forcing them to vote, but one candidate is just like, no, I'm going to carry on doing it the way it has been done. And then that candidate gains an advantage because the other candidates are being honest and kind of fair. So I think unless you can either make sure that everyone is agreeing to the way in which it should be done, you need some kind of maybe rep with them. But I think that's part of the issue, that this year, perhaps more than any other year, these underhand tactics have been employed by certain people. I mean, it passed me by a little bit. I didn't get any iPads thrown in my face, but you could see the people around Portland with the iPads and catching people passing by. I remember, like you say, Harry, from last year, they came into like our hall's dining room and came around with the iPads and like thrust it in our faces while we were trying to eat, which is just completely, quite frankly, rude. And they benefit from this because you just want to get rid of them. And so you do it there and then because you just are bored of them just talking to you. So people employing these underhand tactics always gain an advantage. And I feel unless there is something done to stamp them out, they're just going to carry on, which is why I think people like Jess, people like Ian are so upset that the SU Council won't even consider this reform motion.
Yeah, I think especially, like, if you think about it, the issue is also that now you can say, oh, this candidate was doing this, but then they'll be like, okay, cool, we'll deal with it after the elections, and nothing effectively has happened. And so there is effectively no real repercussion of doing it. And I think that's what they want to address. They want to make sure that the candidates who do this, who do kind of like, essentially, like, no one wants to just be walking around uni, like, it's a pretty hectic couple of weeks for, like, you know, the people campaigning. And on top of that, if you're just somebody who just is not involved and who every time you go to a lecture, you have to be like, no, sorry, I'm not interested, or I've already voted. It just kind of, it gets kind of boring, I think, just for the average student as well. So it means that people have more like apathy towards, like, you know, voting, because they're like, oh, these guys again, they're just kind of like getting on my nerves. And I think that's something which, you know, the motion tries to address. But if it's not even being put on the table for discussion, then it's just going to keep on happening year on year. And that's something which, you know, I agree with them. I can see why they want it to change, because it's not really contributing to the like positive atmosphere that the uni would, you know, seemingly like to have during the elections.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Thomas Burke and Jess Salisbury are both put their names down this open letter. And speaking to them in the run-up to SU elections, both were saying that the campaign that they wanted to run was one where people come up and talk to them to ask about what they're campaigning for, rather than them just, you know, throwing something in someone's face saying that you know, you should vote for this or whatever. And you, Nick, you mentioned kind of, you know, thinking about maybe introducing some kind of rep for each campaign. But I mean, with a campaign team of 600 like Ismail had, you know, you can't have one person with 600 people. And I think that's also another issue, is that I think some of the SU candidates probably maybe were unaware of some of the stuff that was going on by their team, maybe because it was too large and they weren't able to directly be there for the campaigning. But if you've got such a wide range of people, it might be a bit too harsh to hold each SU candidate personally accountable for the actions of their campaign team.
Do you not think it's the responsibility of the candidate to ensure that their campaign team are acting responsibly and in within the guidelines of the election campaign? Because like you say, Ismail's got 600 people. If he can't keep 600 people in check, then I personally think he, as the main candidate, should be accountable for their actions, because it's his campaign team. At the end of the day, if they're acting in the wrong, he should face the repercussions as the candidate, because he's effectively unlawfully gained votes.
But I mean, in terms of what we're talking about with the grievances, that they only get submitted after the election as well. So even if there was a way of saying, okay, this person has clearly done something wrong, one, it would be hard to prove, because I think there were allegations that some of Abel Hartman's team were accused of foul play, but when he was asked about it, he just said, you know, this is that they're not to do with me. You know, you can choose to just disassociate yourself by saying, you know, these people maybe just grabbed a t-shirt. So I think with, you know, it's exceptionally hard for one student as well to say to another that they're campaigning unfairly, because they might just throw something back at them and say, I mean, Dina El-Khoudi has written her name down for this, and several people accused her of the iPad tactic and being too much in people's faces. So, I mean, even within the people who've put their name down for this, you know, like Ian said, he maybe doesn't agree with all the points. So I think it's kind of it's quite a kind of pit you get dragged down to as soon as you start slinging allegations at people. So maybe the way of actually moving until after the election lets things kind of simmer down a bit and think, all right, how can we kind of judge people fairly? And then I think, and this is where I kind of see a bit of compromise, is that we really should then, if, you know, if someone has won their position and are judged of committing a foul play, I think they should be removed from their position.
Do you think that's down to the SU, the current SU, in running the elections to make sure that complaints can be heard and people know where to go if they have a complaint? Because Jess said in her statement that people aren't aware that they even can complain, let alone where to go with complaints. Do you think then the SU have to do more to ensure people are aware that if they feel they're being forced to vote or they feel a candidate is acting unlawfully, that they know there is somewhere they can go, and that then the repercussions can be felt during the election and not in retrospect, which some people would argue is perhaps unfair on the candidate?
Well, I think that's what the Union Council are battling with at the moment, in the sense of that the SU candidates are saying, you're responsible for this, you need to you know, take hold of this somehow. And I think the Union Council are trying to push it away from them. In terms of the current, you know, SU officers, I think they could be doing a lot more in terms of making sure that people are aware of what is actually going on in this process. How do I get involved? How does this affect me? Because unfortunately, you know, the reason why these things crop up is because, yeah, like you said, people don't know where to go to if something happens to them. They don't know who the person in front of them is, or maybe what position they're running for. So I think the Union Council at the moment, would you say it's looking like they're running scared, or are they right in saying that this doesn't have to do anything with us? But I think it's pretty clear that it does, in the way that the open letter pointed out, that as the ultimate power for SU, surely they should be making a decision on this.
I think if they're, especially if they're kind of outrightly rejecting to make any reforms, I think they're accepting themselves that they have the power to either have a discussion or reject it. And if they choose to reject it, then they are accepting that they do have a say in it, and they have the power to make changes or not. And I certainly think that, because it's, you know, there are a fair few names on there, and there was a lot of outrage surrounding the whole campaigns for the SU elections this year. And no, I certainly think that there should be at least a discussion, if not, and a compromise, or if not, I don't think it's fair to completely ignore something that did cause such like controversy throughout the whole of the university.
And I think especially, like, it's been over like several, like, effectively positions, like, you know, I've heard about it for, like, you know, the president position, the equal opportunity and welfare. So it's kind of been across the board this year, whereas like previous years you kind of heard, like, you know, bits and bobs about it, you know, having kind of witnessed it in first and second year. But this year, having candidates who sometimes were, you know, completely opposed during the campaigning, actually afterwards be like, you know what, you know, this is just not, like, on. I think, you know, like, most people would just be like, okay, campaigning, it was, you know, it's done, it's over. Most people just walk away. Whereas the fact that these guys have come back and been like, actually, I still feel so strongly about what just happened that, you know, even though I've got my degree and stuff, I don't want to let it go. I think that's kind of speaks volumes about the fact that it needs to be addressed, and it's something that's kind of escalated comparatively to previous years, if, you know, well, from my perspective anyways, I feel.
Scott Jennings, who ran twice, he failed to win both times, and he did a Facebook post after the election results, and it was quite, he came pretty close in the final tally, and he was complaining that he was forced to be in labs most of the dates because of the nature of his course, and he wasn't actually allowed the time out to campaign as much as the other candidates have. So, you know, if you have a less kind of a course that has less constraints on your time, it's much easier for you to be out there and about. And, you know, a lot of people were basically running these campaigns with themselves and maybe, you know, two or three other people who were trying to help them out. Do you think there should actually be, you know, people should actually get 2 weeks off for this campaigning, or should, would that just encourage people to think, oh, I'll say I'm running for, you know, SU officer when actually I just fancy a 2 week break from uni?
Well, I feel that if somebody does say I'm running for an SU officer position, I feel like there should be some sort of, you know, thing that they have to actually hand in and be like, look, you know, this is what I did with this time. You know, this is like, you know, evidence of me being there at said time. So you can't just effectively, as you say, just say I'm running for a position and just not do anything. But I do think that particularly for those like running potentially in like, you know, their second and third years, well, most people wouldn't run in first year, but I feel like, especially for contact hour heavy courses or courses which have like labs, for example, or like workshops where you actually have to be there and you can't, for example, like watch the lectures online, I think that that is something that probably would be needed to like level the playing field. But at the end of the day, having said that, I feel that especially for the part-time officer positions, you'll have to juggle those positions with your course regardless. So those ones, I'd almost say that there isn't, like, though I can appreciate that, you know, it would be better in terms of balance, I think that realistically,
well,
the next year,
part of the nature of the position.
Yeah,
is
it's part of the nature. And so
commitments.
I feel like you should only commit the amount of time that you'd be able to commit to that position in the future. But that's just for the part-time ones. Like, for the full-time ones, I completely sort of agree that there should be a sort of proposition to, like, you know, for example, have your deadlines delayed to, like, Easter or whatever, you know, just within reason, obviously.
I think it's really difficult because a course like that where you have labs is really difficult to delay it because you don't have the professors to do a one-to-one lab later on in the term. And I feel like Scott Jennings knew he had labs when he got involved in the campaign. He knew what his course was like. That's where perhaps the campaign team comes into it. He maybe could have done a better job at getting a campaign team together that had less commitment hours and was really passionate for his cause. So I feel like that's not maybe a grievance that he has with the nature of the campaigns, and more a grievance that he should have with his campaign team or with himself even, for maybe not collating.
Or maybe the tutors, because if the tutors don't care enough, you know, it's hard enough to get to try and convince your tutor of, you know, I need time off for this extracurricular. I wonder how much importance they place on something like a SU candidacy.
Yeah, perhaps. I think it's difficult because the tutors, it doesn't necessarily affect them as much. And so that is part of the problem with the process in general. I was going to widen this question out to everyone, moving away from this year's election specifically. Do you think that perhaps the apathy of students in general towards the elections gives the potential for these issues to come up, like the iPad tactic, like the kind of forcing people to vote because they simply don't care enough to look through the candidates? So if someone thrusts an iPad in their face and just says click here, they just will because they don't care.
I think that's definitely a possibility, especially amongst first years. I think it's a mixture between apathy and lack of awareness and kind of just a lack of information as to what the SU elections are about, how they affect your education. I had no idea that who I voted for, like what the effects were going to be in terms of who I voted for, how it's going to affect my experience at university. And so I think it's a mixture between kind of a lack of awareness and apathy. But it's certainly cases, I think Dawson pointed out earlier, when people are at you all the time, you just think, you know what, just go away. Okay, you know, here, I'll give you what you want. Here's my signature, my vote, and now just leave me alone. So I think it's a mixture of the two, to be honest.
I think also if there was a bigger push right at the start of the year, you know, right in the kind of welcome week bit where you're getting all this new information about how the university works, if there was a, you know, at least some sort of segment on what the SU does for you, why it's important, and, you know, how your vote can affect things, because not only would that actually give the SU officers kind of greater mandate in terms of what they can do, but also it would just mean that by the time that the elections come around, people are at least vaguely aware of the process that's going on around them, rather than just thinking, I want to get this person out of my face, yeah, sure, you know, I'm sure this doesn't affect me, when actually, you know, the SU officers, for all the kind of thing of, oh, you know, how much, you know, power do they actually have to change things, they do actually have a lot of potential to kind of set things in place at least that will go on to change the way that future students or even our current students will benefit from.
Yeah, and I think to add to what you said as well, I think that they are effectively the people who liaise most directly to, like, you know, the council, like, who run, like, the whole thing. So I think especially if during the first few weeks of freshers, if you had all the, like, SU officers maybe one night a week, say, you know, obviously they're very busy, I appreciate that, but I think that if you had them, you know, to take an example, go into halls and be like, hey, this is what I do at the uni, just so you know, if you need help in this department, some of you will get involved in, like, sports, co-curricular, you know, I'm the person to go to if you have an idea for example, a new society or whatever. And I think that that's something that, you know, we have so much stuff, like, going on in, like, freshers week, you know, we're all freshers and it can be a bit hectic, but I think that having even, like, a 5-minute kind of, you know, small introduction by a kind of, like, you know, an SU kind of, you know, be it president or whatever, just say, look, this is the team, you know, if you need help for this or that, you know, we are open to, like, you know, communicating, because a lot of them in their manifesto say we have, like, office hours, but how many people realistically will actually take them up on their office hours? Because a lot of the people will just be like, oh, they're in their office and I don't really know where that is. So I think that if you just had that added bit of visibility, then already it'd be in people's minds. And as, you know, as Nick said, that voter apathy might be lessened. And then afterwards, you know, as a knock-on effect, people would actually care a bit more about the elections and not just be like, oh, you know, this guy's chucking an iPad in my face. They'll be like, no, I don't feel this guy's fit to run, you know, run my uni.
I think also in terms of, you know, how many first years or, you know, even older students know where the SU officer, you know, kind of where their office is, you know, it's kind of, it's, I don't want to say closeted away, but it's, you know, it's a little bit apart from, it's not in the kind of mainstream of where you're going through the Portland building. And, you know, I wonder how many students actually go up there to say with any problems or discussions. I know that a couple of times I've been up there, I think because of that lack of awareness of, you know, office hours and things like that, they actually haven't been around for me to talk to. So it's just a bit of, and then you start thinking, well, you know, this person that has been elected isn't even around for me to talk to if I have a couple of questions.
It's a good point, because in first year when they came around and they were doing all the elections, like, the only version I could relate to with that was, like, school council elections, which didn't matter at all. Essentially, school council had no power. It was in the hand of adults to decide what happened. I didn't even know what the SU was until I joined URN and actually got more involved with the SU and with the elections, because I thought there was adults involved at every decision that the university made. I didn't even realize these people were paid to do it. And then it's only really when I went to the elections that I actually saw how much it meant to the candidates. Like, I remember Paige Roden was crying when she didn't get it, and, like, all these people were really fired up, and it was properly like a kind of government election, like I've seen on TV, and people really care about it. So I feel like that passion needs to be relayed in some way to the general students, because otherwise we just don't know. We don't understand what it is. And I was one of those people in that position who just really didn't understand the SU at all, let alone kind of how much it meant to people. So I feel like that's partly the problem, and the way in which these issues that people like Jess and Dippin and Ian have brought up in this letter, that's partly where they come from.
Yeah, definitely. And as part of the kind of media covering the actual elections night, and also kind of the lead up to it, you're kind of struck by, like you said, how much kind of passion and enthusiasm is in that these candidates have. I think also when you're covering, you get caught up in a bit of that as well. I remember saying to my friends who weren't involved in the process, you know, what was happening. And they were actually quite kind of, they were curious about, you know, why this had passed them by. And I think if there was a better way of translating the actual, you know, experience of what is going on to other people, you know, people actually see that, yeah, it is like a, you know, election that goes on countrywide. And so people might be more interested in the results. And you mentioned Paige Roden. We also tried to get in contact with Mary McCarthy and Ismail Saadeddin, who both ran for president. And just one kind of last issue that I want to kind of draw your attention to before we break for a song is the issue of finance and how to regulate that. Because in previous elections, there have been some sort of cap or recommended spending amount, and in the election that we just had, there was around a £70 or £80 recommended spending and then a £30 reimbursement that you got from the university. And speaking to people on Thomas Burke's campaign team, they were very much aware of how limited they were by the fact that they were only using that reimbursement, whereas I think they felt that some of the other candidates were not only using that reimbursement but also the maximum recommended spending, also possibly even exceeding that. I think if you look at the campaign that drew the kind of most attention, which was Ismail's only one, you know, it was the use of the Snapchat filter, which can be quite expensive. You know, there were pens, there were t-shirts, you know, there were always people out and about, either, you know, I saw people playing with kind of tennis rackets and stuff. And you know, how do you regulate that? Because, you know, before they had some kind of way of you know, handing in all your receipts at the end, but, you know, like we said before, how do you stop your campaign team from spending for you? And so I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that to a certain extent, especially if you go for like t-shirts, pens and stuff, like that usually will be done by the person who's actually running. Like, as in, I can't imagine somebody from their own campaign being like, you know what, I'm going to go out and spend 50 quid for my mate. Just, you know, as in, like, as much as you feel passionate about your friend or, you know, somebody who you like, you really respect being like SU president, for example, you wouldn't spontaneously do that because you need it to match, for example, the campaign, you know, colors, theme, and, you know, for it to be like,
thing
accepted.
Is, some of the campaigns were really coordinated in the way that they would have the person running, then about five or six really close friends. And I would imagine, you know, if you were part of this campaign and really invested in it, mm-hmm. and someone asked you to pitch in 20 quid and you thought, you know what, this 20 quid will go a long way. And then if you got all five of your friends to do that and then pitched in maybe 40 quid yourself, you know, you've got basically £140, and that's, you know, way past the spending, recommended spending.
Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, that's in large part the issue, is that, you know, there was obvious, you know, because I actually spoke to Emma Connor about this, you know, about a week after the, like, SU elections night, and she said, you know, she bought, like, a few t-shirts, and she said the thing is, for her, she was like, all it takes is counting, okay, this is the campaign team I have, there are this many t-shirts, you know, even hypothetically, quite, you know, cheap t-shirts, you know, we've got them all, and, you know, that's kind of essentially my spending, like, gone. And then she was like, just doing the maths, you know, for, you know, other candidates, she was like, candidates with 200 t-shirts, even if it's like a quid a t-shirt, realistically, they've, like, it's not even subtle. Like, if you were like, oh no, actually I got them made cheaply, like, however cheap you want to get them made, like, you know, it's still gonna cost you. And I think that there's a certain level where, you know, like, I feel that university is a great place because, especially, you know, I've, you know, through sports clubs and societies, you can run for anything, being from whatever background, you don't need kind of financial backing. And I don't blame, you know, the candidates who did use, you know, whatever, like, extra resources they could, because the SU kind of permitted it. But I do feel that the SU should kind of decide, well, actually, this isn't what we want the ethos of our university to be. Because essentially, if this kind of stays, then obviously people who are, like, you know, better off will just be like, you know what, I want to pay for an SU position.
It's pay to win.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
I think that that just isn't, well, as in that, you know, for me, like, that isn't at all, like, what I feel, you know, we should be represented by as students.
No, I completely agree. I think perhaps a spending cap to be enforced on all candidates could be a good thing. But
I'm just going to get one more point in there.
Well,
because,
go on, then. Go on,
yeah, basically, there's an elections committee, apparently, that is supposed to come into action, basically, when they feel that there's either too much foul play or kind of overspending go on. But I think that really highlights just the disconnect there is between the kind of SU bureaucracy that we see in the Union Council with blocking this motion and the students, and that with all, like you said, how obvious the spending was sometimes with all these t-shirts, you know, that no one was thinking, oh, maybe we should do something about this. And I think maybe short of flying a plane across campus with a banner saying, you know, vote for this person, I'm not sure if any of the people in the kind of higher up SU positions would have even noticed.
I completely agree, and I think that's why it was such an important thing for the council to actually agree to at least engage in a discussion about the whole thing.